The following tape program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Tri-Scepter Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Tri-Scepter Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled.
From the Studio Gym, where excuses never apply.
It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. You know, the heart is, the term heart is used metaphorically to imply someone's desire or drive or spirit. My guest today is Dr. Mark Siegel. He has written a book called The Inner Pulse. Many of you may recognize his name. He is a medical contributor over at Fox News, also a columnist for the Los Angeles Times. Welcome to the show, Mark.
Carl, great to be on with you.
You know, I guess mainstream medicine is starting to recognize more so that a person's will or desire can play a very, very large role in the etiology of some diseases and the outcome of these diseases as well. This is what your book is about, correct?
Well, you know, yes, but my book is about a series of cases or stories about people who totally defied the odds or eluded medical explanation in a way that I found to be instructive, where, you know, it kind of raised eyebrows, and I said, wait a minute, you know, why did this happen? Why did this person wake up from a coma when every doctor in the intensive care unit was saying he wouldn't, but the family knew he would? Why did this woman live, the stubborn mule of a woman, why did she live when everyone, when all medical facts said she was going to die? Why did this guy die when all indications were he was going to live? You know, why? How does this woman with diabetes, who has a multiple personality disorder, why is she diabetic in one personality, not in another?
You've seen a case like that?
I had a case like that, and I documented it on the medical wards. I documented the blood sugars.
Holy
I documented mackerel. Her reactions. I documented which personalities led to which blood sugars. You know, I had another patient that rose out of a wheelchair to confront somebody that owed him $2 million. When everyone said he had a muscle wasting disease, he's never going to walk again. He hadn't walked in over a year. You know, how do these things happen? And you know, the reason they happen is because of mind over matter. But even mind over matter, Carl, is a term that's become hackneyed, overused, and and not as understood as it should
be. Right.
It's not just mind over matter. It's the issue of the spirit. It's the issue of the soul. It's the issue of mental powers and physical combining in what I call the inner pulse, the fulcrum or the axis where mental and physical combine. It's the idea that doctors have become too much readers of statistics and probabilities,
right.
And everyone else are fortune tellers. How about combining it in the word healer?
But isn't that something that is not controllable? I mean, we all know the opposite side of this experience. We've all heard of somebody who died of a broken heart, a man who died within months of losing his wife of 60 years, or someone who has literally willed themselves to die. So we know that this is possible in the opposite spectrum. Why is it so hard for people to believe that it is not possible in the reparative side of the body?
You know, I don't know why. I think my best answer to that is that people are taught to think in categorical ways, that they think, here's my healer, here's my rabbi, here's my priest, here's even my psychic. Like if someone told you that a psychic predicted the future, you'd say, oh, okay, that's a pretty gifted guy. If someone told you a doctor predicted the future, you'd say, that guy must be a lunatic.
Yeah, right, exactly.
It's that we think in very cookie cutter categorical terms, and we don't consider enough, you know, that, wait a minute, what is a doctor? He's somebody, she's somebody that spent X number of years watching people be ill, watching them recover, watching them not recover, watching them die, watching them survive, don't you think somebody who did that with their eyes open and their ears open might actually learn an intuition that would help them? And don't you think that a patient who's had to live with a condition for years might know better than somebody wielding a book of statistics? I mean, that's the key of my book, is that I believe, and that's why my book resonates, and that's why people like my book, because I believe that patients know best, not doctors, and patients know best.
Oh, I love this. I love this.
Not because of a cliche, but because they're the ones that are familiar with the conditions they
right.
have.
Right. Why is it that, when someone gets a disease, quite often people intuitively know that they're sick, and I don't even mean because they have a sense of malaise or you've heard these stories before that someone just knew something was wrong and then they went in and they found a tumor. Or why is it that people I guess the real question is it the issue of the cart and the horse? Do people get sick, you think, because they manifest these feelings that promote illness, or vice versa?
Both are true. I look at the inner pulse as a form of radar to illness, but the inner pulse is also influenced by a person's psyche or their courage or their lack of courage or their attitudes. These are definitely contributing factors. So A, you could be aware that things are going wrong, because after all, we all die eventually, or B, you can influence it and accelerate it, the inner pulse being the radar. I tend to look at it more as a learning book, though, than a prescriptive book. You know, the prescriptive books, that's another one that's a dime a dozen. You know, let's go out there and tell people how to cure the common cold. I'm more like, let's teach people how to listen to themselves.
Who do you write this book for? Did you write it for the person out there who is struggling with disease, or did you write it for the clinician who needs to have their senses recharged, so to speak?
I didn't write it for doctors because I don't think doctors are going to change too fast. I think they're too arrogant, and we doctors are entering a period of great, and we don't have a lot of sympathetic listeners
right.
to this point, but we're entering a period of economic difficulty. I don't think anybody cares about that, but we have too much paperwork or too much computer work. We have too much documentation. We're under too much pressure. We have to see too many patients. And so the idea that doctors are suddenly going to become more humanistic is not what I think. I think it's up to patients to do that, and to choose doctors who they find are like that naturally. I don't think this can be taught to doctors in schools. They're like everybody in medical school to be reading my book, but it's hard to teach this. It's more important that patients choose doctors who have this quality. Hard quality to teach.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. You know, I agree with something you just said. I feel that there's a renaissance coming. I think that, I believe that doctors have been co-opted and used. The medical orthodoxy has been influenced by a pharmaceutical agenda. And I think that there are a lot of I know that all doctors become doctors for the right reasons, but somewhere along the line, I feel like they, in the effort to pursue their trade, they get off track. I think a lot of doctors are coming back around. I am optimistic, perhaps maybe a little more optimistic than you because I'm not in the field, but I have to believe that there's a lot of doctors out there who would enjoy the opportunity to hone their senses and be more instinctive and intuitive, but they're afraid to. They're afraid to. It takes courage, first of all, to step out of the ranks and do what you're doing, number one. That takes a great deal of courage because, let's face it, the people that are probably railing against you are the people inside the ranks, not the people on the outside.
I have a big media platform, and I'm pretty protected. I'm kind of in my own universe. You know, a lot of doctors try to create a message in order to advance themselves, but I'm where I want to be in terms of that, and so I'm able to say it. And you're actually right. A lot of doctors resonate with this message and want to be there, so I haven't had as much attack from the orthodoxy as you might expect, but nor am I naive enough to believe that the orthodoxy can change overnight, though. And that's what I'm saying. I'm saying that, that it's up to patients to change, not doctors. Because doctors are being driven in the opposite direction, which is another point you just made. I think we have to start to learn from the stories and the cases, like the ones in my book, of things that occur a little bit different. Or, here's another one, Carl. Look for your teachers outside of the ranks of the Orthodox. The orthodoxy, as you say. Like, one of the teachers for me in this book is David Blaine. I mean, how unusual would that be? I went to David Blaine and spent a day with him interviewing him for this book. because of his abilities to control his body with mental powers, because he was able to breathe underwater for almost 20 minutes, and it was not a ruse. It was not a fake thing.
Right.
When a top pulmonologist in New York said he didn't even have the lungs for it, that his lungs were too small, you know, how did he do all this stuff? And I learned from him in terms of how to train. And I found out that basically you could control your inner pulse by extreme exercise, repetitive exercise, by a form of meditation, both of which he does.
Right.
Or the other way would be to get very close to illness or very close to death, and then you learn from what that feels like to become more in touch with your inner pulse.
Right.
But Blaine is a master at this, as Houdini was. They're not magicians so much as they are, you know, endurance artists, performance
right.
artists.
Right. They have a profound amount of control over their physiology. Where before we go into the break, how long has the book been available?
The book's been out since May, and it's doing really well. I've been talking a lot about it on Fox News, on radio shows like yours. I've done some appearances on the Doctor's Show, TV show, and Inside Edition. I've been all over with it. I'm having a lot of fun with it. It's gotten some good reviews.
And where do you prefer people get it, at Amazon or in bookstores? Does it matter to you?
No, they can get it in the bookstores. It's easier to get it, probably easier to get it online, but they can get it either place.
Okay. All right, let's do this. Let's take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to pick up the discussion to a greater degree. We're talking today with Dr. Mark Siegel. He is the author of the book, The Inner Pulse. Run out and get it today. I love these kind of books because they promote the idea that faith and hope are actually real and can affect your physiology. And we know that that's true. We need more people like Dr. Siegel letting the medical orthodoxy know that it's true as well. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Kicking your can all over the place. No other peptide supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Companies. And no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1 labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1 Long R3, GHRP6, GHRP2, Melanotan-2, Mechanogrowth Factor, or PT-141, or hard-to-find peptides like Triptorelin or Follistatin, you'll find them at Southern Research Companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Southern Research banner ad today and do business with the most trusted name in research peptides, Southern Research Company. From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver-safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro Series products today at primordialperformance.com.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at WiseChoiceMedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. WiseChoiceMedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
CoQ10 is known to ramp up mitochondrial function. PQQ is documented to increase mitochondrial biogenesis and size. Now get two of the most advanced anti-aging supplements in a single capsule. Brought to you by Dr. Peter Rouse. CoQ10 and PQQ combined will give your body the mitochondrial energy and production that you need. And to make this offer even better, Superhuman Radio listeners get 20% off when you call 310-895-5385 and mention that you heard it on Superhuman Radio.
That's the sound of 37 dumbbells. That's a lot of weight and a lot of wasted space when you can get the same thing done with just one set of power blocks. The new, quieter, urethane series power blocks with FlexPin technology are the heaviest and easiest to use quick change dumbbells on the market. Starting at just $149 a pair, power blocks can grow as your strength grows, all the way up to 130 pounds per dumbbell. Imagine a whole rack of dumbbells in the space of just one pair with power blocks. Go to powerblock.com today or call 800-651-1937. Power block, the world's best dumbbell.
The fourth most abundant mineral in the body, magnesium, is responsible for 300 biochemical reactions, normal muscle and nerve function, proper heart rhythm, healthy immune system, and proper hormone levels. But most find taking oral magnesium problematic. automatic. Get optimum magnesium levels with transdermal magnesium oil from MikeMahler.com. Magnesium absorbed through the skin can elevate DHEA levels and a variety of other reactions that can increase energy, reduce muscle soreness, lose stomach fat, and ramp up heart health. Go to MikeMahler.com today. That's Mike, MAHLER.com.
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking today with Dr. Mark Siegel about his book, The Inner Pulse. I love this book. And the fact that it's written by a physician, I love it even more. Because it's something you can take seriously. You know, you pointed out something before, Dr. Siegel, that, physicians, they come in contact with these incidences throughout their career. But they don't really pay a lot of attention to it, do they?
No, they really don't. And one of the ways I'm hoping to get them to pay attention is by the stories in this book. You know, one of the things people resonate with is stories. And that's, you know, the latest crazy movie out, Contagion. Everybody's going to see it because it's a story of people and getting them how they get sick, although not enough of a story. The stories of this book are illustrative, and when you get into them, you get to see the point. It's harder to see it by just somebody prognosticating. And so when I give a long history of a patient and how they got better or how they didn't get better or how they beat the odds or how somebody wasn't listening to them and should have been, that really brings home the point.
You know, one of the chapters in your book, Infection of the Body, Infection of the Spirit, in that chapter, are you implying that one begets the other, or are you saying that we should look at infection of the spirit as seriously as we do infections of the body?
Well, in that particular chapter you're talking about, the superbug became so, it became such a powerful media image that it actually gave people the impression that it was making them sicker than they really were, and probably then did make them sicker than they really were because of immune defenses. I think it's an integrated system. I think that immunological responses are basic, are driven by things like stress, things like hope. Hard to prove. And I'm not saying it's linear, but I'm saying it's all part of the same larger package. You know, I had a great line of discussion with our top neuro-oncologist at NYU, Michael Gruber, who's very open to these ideas. And I said to him, Michael, have you had anybody ever survive a malignant brain tumor that was 100% fatal by statistics? And this is in my book. This is in The Inner Pulse. And he responded, I have 17 patients that I've been following that have been alive close to 5 years now. And I said, trying to bait him, I said, Carl, I said, is it the force of will? Is it their courage? Is it mind over matter that allowed them to survive? And he said, no. And I thought, oh, okay, now I won't be able to use him in the book. But then he's paused and he says, but you know something? All 17 have that in common. All 17 have that courage.
That trait.
They all have that conviction. So it's not the only thing, but it's a necessary but not sufficient.
You know, this book is inspiring. Anybody who's dealing with disease should read this book, in my humble opinion, because we know that the mental attitude of an individual quite often will precipitate their outcome in lots of, not just coping with illness, just coping with issues in life in general. And you know, we recently did a show analyzing Pasteur's germ theory versus the cellular theory, and we know that what happens outside the body quite often does not influence outcome as much as what happens inside the body. And we also know from numerous, and those who want to point at studies, we have studies out there that show that stress weakens the immune system. Stress weakens the body's ability to cope with insult. And sometimes staying in a stressful situation long enough can actually cause the insult that leads to disease. The problem that I run into with this isn't with the concept. It's with the ability to, like you said, teach and reproduce this effect. It's not something that you can just muster up the desire to do. It has to be something that is innate in you. How much of this do you think has to do with I hate to reduce things to low common denominators, but the optimist versus the pessimist?
Well, I think that's too reductionistic because of a funny chapter in my book where the most negative pessimistic, difficult woman survived against the odds. And I'm left thinking that's probably the reason. It was her obnoxiousness.
Ah.
It was her obnoxious. And to a point you made before, Carl, there was another patient who had a very positive spirit, who was a poet, who where his work helped him survive, where, you know, where his belief in himself helped him survive. You know, that guy was treated by Ravici, who was 100 years old at the time, an alternative chemotherapy, and by a traditional chemotherapy, and I was never able to figure out which it was. It's probably a combination.
Right.
But also his positive attitude. So it's something that's resilient that's related to the inner pulse, whether it's a pessimism or an optimism. It's not. It can be both.
Yeah, I guess whether it, and I see what you're saying, whether it's sheer tenacity and venom, or whether it is abundant love and joy, maybe the common denominator is the will to go on, the desire to go on, the will, the desire to, you know, not go. Because you know how many people will say, I'm ready to go, and they will die almost spontaneously sometimes. They'll hang on. We've all heard these stories about the parent who hung on until their child, who lived so far away on the other side of the globe, arrived and was there in the hospital room, and then they drift off. They held on. They waited for that moment. Maybe it's the desire to continue on, that there's more to life that you still want to live. I mean, any thoughts on that?
I think that that's part of it. I think this issue of people being ready to die when it's time to die, not dying before their time, is part of it. But if I get too heavy on that, I'm going to lose the larger point, which is that there's this force that actually predicts that. You know, it's sometimes people do die before their time. Sometimes people weren't ready to die and they do. You know, I mean, I'm not trying to say for
you're right.
I'm not trying to say for your listeners out there that car accidents don't occur.
Right.
And I'm not saying that things are preordained, and I'm not saying that once the inner pulse is ticking, you're done. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying that it's all connected in a way that you can learn from and be aware of, and sometimes you can influence.
Now, are you still continuing to gather more of this type of information?
You know, that's a great question, Carl. It happens all the time. Gabriel Giffords was a great example of that. How do you explain that Gabriel Giffords got shot in the head and everything happened in just the right way? It's almost like a medical miracle that was put together with a kind of magic that I'm talking about here. You know, you almost can tell, now I'm in the world of medical miracles. She happens to be a few miles from one of the top trauma centers in the country. She happens to have one of the top neurosurgeons there. The head of the hospital happens to have done a lot of time in Iraq. They got her within the golden hour, got the bullet out. It happened to pass through just high enough in the brain so that it misses the vital centers. You know, they happen to know how to do this procedure. It happened to go well. All of these things had to come together, and then she had to have the indomitable spirit. I had an 89-year-old patient recently where the same exact thing was true. The patient was told by another hospital that she had a malignant brain tumor and she was going to die. But we just figured out that it was a metastatic thing from her lungs and that she was a tough old bird and she probably survived. We got a neurosurgeon to agree to do it. He took it out.
Right.
Hasn't recurred. It has not come back. There's something about knowing your patient and knowing their powers and knowing their ability to heal and their resiliency and their inner pulse that helps you know how to guide them.
Do you think someday, or do you hope someday, in medical schools around the world they will start to teach physicians to be more intuitive, to take chances, or do you think that will never happen in the environment of medicine as it is today?
I think that that it will never occur in the medical school environment. I think that it will occur outside of medical school when we understand that doctors need a lot more than medical school. I don't think you can teach this. I think that you can read about it. I think it's all about doctors having more than just a medical background. We become too narrow. We become technicians. Let's not use the word. If we want to get to the word healer, those influences come from spending time with people like David Blaine, listening to psychics, having faith, you know, maybe having a rabbi or a priest talk to you. I mean, I have a very close friend. Now, I'm Jewish, but I have a very close friend that's a priest that dealt with the post 9/11 tragedies and has been dealing with all the families. We have frequent talks about spiritual healing. You know, and I also was heavily influenced for this book by the Kabbalah and by Rabbi Schneerson, the Rebbe. I mean, all of these things play a role in learning how to be a healer.
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree. All right, the book is called The Inner Pulse, and you can get it at Amazon or where finer books are sold. Dr. Siegel, I know that you have a very, very busy morning. I want to thank you for taking time to come on the show today.
Carl, anytime. It really was a great pleasure to be on. You're a great interviewer. Thank
wonderful,
you.
Wonderful. All right, so stay tuned. When we come back, we've got more Superhuman Radio to discuss. We'll see you then. Testosterone is the king of anabolic hormones, and TestCharge is unlike any testosterone amplifier you have ever tried, because only TestCharge has taxadrol, a substance that grows in only one place in the world and is only found in TestCharge. TestCharge will jack your testosterone levels like illegal agents, but rest assured, there are no banned substances in TestCharge. TestCharge is the secret weapon used by IFBB legend Flex Wheeler. And now, you can join the pro ranks. Go to AAEFX.com to learn more about where you can find TestCharge today. 6-Oxo is back thanks to Iron Mag Lab, the gold standard for testosterone boosting and estrogen reduction that all other over-the-counter aromatase inhibitors are compared to is 6-Oxo progesterone. 6-Oxo is the active ingredient in the new E-Control RX from Iron Mag Labs. Iron Mag Labs has resurrected the beast that has been clinically shown to raise free testosterone by as much as 226%. As men age, estrogen rises and testosterone drops. E-Control RX can help reverse this from happening. E-Control RX is suitable for post-cycle therapy to jumpstart natural testosterone production. Get E-Control RX today. Go to ironmaglabs.com today. Sissies may want to stop listening now. Super DMZ is the most powerful legal compound available on the market today, bar none. Super DMZ will give you lean muscle and strength gains at comparable rates to the anabolic steroid Dianabol with none of the water retention or bloat. Super DMZ contains Superdrol dimethazine, not to be confused with other Superdrol knockoffs. Get Super DMZ while supplies last at ironmaglabs.com. Don't wait too long because Super DMZ is sure to be added to the government ban list. Go to ironmaglabs.com today.
Protein is the building block of muscle. Protein-rich diets have been shown to not only be heart healthy, but also burn body fat through the thermogenic effect of protein in the digestive process. But getting enough protein each day isn't easy. That's why I use True Protein from TrueProtein.com. TrueProtein.com has an incredible variety of flavors. My favorite is chocolate coconut. And you can even create your own custom blend. Mix whey, casein, and egg, or throw in a little beef isolate. And you can save 5% off the already low, low price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Visit TrueProtein.com today and let them know Carl sent you.
Age Force introduces the first ever nitric oxide booster plus advanced post-workout recovery formula in a two-stage transdermal patch. Stage 1 releases its nitric oxide boosting formula directly into the bloodstream the minute you apply it, and continues to deliver a powerful nitric oxide boost during your workout. Stage 2 is delayed time release, so the post-recovery formula starts after your workout. Go to ageforce.com and check out the new pre- and post-workout patch and get 50% off any order with the promo code SHROX. Save 50% when you use coupon code SHROX. AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn. Teach. Lead. All of your favorite supplements are waiting for you at the best prices and fastest customer service at OrbitNutrition.com. Even some of the more popular supplements advertised right here on Superhuman Radio. They carry All-American EFX, LG Sciences, and Primordial Performance products at the best prices on the net. Visit OrbitNutrition.com today and check out their complete line. Give them a chance to fill your order. You won't be disappointed. OrbitNutrition.com. The best supplements in the universe are at OrbitNutrition.com.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. You know, I'd love to hear from people in the audience. If you have an experience where sheer will
sheer desire actually aided you overcoming a difficult period of your life and illness. You can call me at 502-690-2298 or post it on Facebook. I'll read it. Originally, we had Dr. Siegel booked for the entire hour, but he has a TV show that he is called away to do. Very, very popular guy. Very happy that he made the time to come on the show today. So I am left with nothing but time to discuss this concept, which is really an intriguing concept to me. The idea that physicians witness these types of quote-unquote miracles, his word as well, and they don't pick up anything from it. It's baffling to me. It almost means that they purposely ignore it, because as humans, we see patterns. You know, as humans, we see patterns in things. You know, we see synchronicity in events. We see, the question of chi. That shouldn't have happened that way, and it did. And we question it. Why is it? And some of us will start thinking about spirituality or the effects of the universe or a deity or whatever it is that you happen to believe in, and we start to question these things. And we've all had events in our lives where things turned out a certain way and they shouldn't have. And the reality is, physicians see this all the time. How come, why don't they take note of it? And why don't they try to find the meaning in it in treating their patients? It really is a good question. And it's something that they should do, but they don't. It's obvious that they see these events. I mean, Dr. Siegel sees them and he took note of them. Maybe he is, as he said, it's not something you can learn. It's something that maybe you have to have a spiritual connection, a willingness to believe that there's something greater at work than just the statistics in an epidemiological study. Perhaps it's a willingness to be open. The story he told about the neurologist or the neural oncologist, the neural oncologist, the guy working with all the brain tumors, where he immediately first dismissed the notion, but then said, you know, but they all do have that in common. Maybe you have to be willing to say, what I have been taught is a great starting point, but it's not everything. And there's more out there. There's more out there that I don't understand. And the reality is that's probably a scary notion for a physician, because think about it. If you were tasked with a job that the outcome meant that a person could die prematurely or die, period, there's a lot of weight and gravity in your job. And you would probably be very, very, what's the word I'm looking for? You would be very conservative about how you doled out device. You might even be restrictive about how you dole out advice. And so as a result of that, maybe doctors are afraid to open their eyes to these things, because what if they tell a patient, you know, you can actually help influence the outcome of your disease by tapping into some spirituality or having faith or so on and so forth, and it doesn't work. Then they've given advice that perhaps sets someone up for the hope that there would be a positive outcome, and there's not. So I can see why physicians are afraid to step out of their comfort zone and take this type of approach. And they have to stick with what they were taught in school exclusively. And that way, if something goes wrong, they go, well, I applied what I learned, what I've been told that I should apply, and it didn't work. So I'm really not at fault here, because I used the tools that I had available to me, the way it was taught to me, and that's all one could expect of me. If you can pass on the burden of blame, then you sidestep the responsibility of the outcome. And let's face it, the possibility of universities, medical schools starting to teach, or even taught, okay, let's say Dr. Siegel is correct. You can't teach this. You have to have a sensitivity to it. And so maybe you can't really teach people to be able to feel these feelings, but you surely can, you can explain to people what it's like to feel these feelings and open them up to the possibility that these things are at work. And maybe if they start looking for it, they can tap into it slowly and start to notice it. How, medical schools are never going to teach that. They're never going to explore the possibility that the empirical, what they're teaching, could actually be affected by something mystical or metaphysical. Because then, what are they really teaching? Then what they're saying is, well, this works, but only if these other things are at play. Well, now it's not a science at all. And medicine is trying its best to be a science. And I say that specifically. It's trying to be a science. It's not a science, obviously, because just like we talked about the other day and how people who are exposed to germs don't get sick. Well, clearly that's not science. If it's not reproducible time and time and time and time and time again, then it's not a science. Math is a science. 2 + 2 is always going to be 4. But medicine is not a science, and that is why doctors, quote-unquote, practice medicine. They are practicing medicine. It is not a science yet. And the reality is that the medical orthodoxy wants it to be a science because then they can say, look, we have the answers. Our answer works all the time. But it doesn't. We know that. There are people who get chemotherapy and the cancer comes back. There are people who get chemotherapy and the chemotherapy kills them. There are people who get chemotherapy and they're cured. This is not the answer for science because there's no reproducibility in the outcome. Reproducibility occurs in percentages. 60% of patients respond this way. 30% of patients respond this way. Why? Why? So I really commend Dr. Siegel for stepping out and writing this book. Like he said, he has a comfort zone because he is not perhaps in the front lines, if you will, where maybe more people would take shots at him, like Dr. William Davis, the cardiologist who recently wrote the book Wheat Belly. He's a cardiologist who's saying that it's the preponderance of wheat and its consumption that is causing all of the heart disease in this country. And the wheat, I've tried to get him on the show. I actually wanted to have him on the show this week because the organization for the wheat production and farmers out there have really come out in a big way against him. You know, they're obviously saying he's a zealot and he's crazy and he's wrong. And then, you know, how could wheat be the problem when everyone knows that wheat is heart healthy? Just look at what the FDA lets us say about it. Well, we already know that the FDA will let any of its cronies say anything that they want as long as they're paying the VIG, as long as they're paying their dues. They can pay for some botched studies. The FDA doesn't have the brain trust to do any of the research themselves. They rubber stamp it. They say, yeah, you're right. Wheat is heart healthy. But you can't say the same thing about walnuts. So, you know, this notion that doctors step out, especially doctors that are in the rank and file of the medical orthodoxy and take these kind of positions, is it takes an amount of courage. And it takes even more courage for frontline doctors who are working with patients to say, you know, this therapy that we're applying can work, but only if you believe in it. Oh my God, what are you saying? And then they'll go get another opinion and they'll say, well, that doctor's crazy. That doctor's insane. You know, 40% of the people it works on and 60% it doesn't. It has nothing to do with who believes and who doesn't. How do they know? They really don't. I've seen it in my own life. What belief can do. And I know we all have. We all have those periods in our life where we see it. But no one wants to admit it because nobody wants to be classified as a flake, you know, believing in magic. The body is magical. If you don't believe that the brain can control physiology, you're missing the boat. I remember reading a study probably 8 or 9 years ago that looked at the stress response hormones in individuals watching you know, one of these bloody horror movies, one of these bloody scary movies where people are being hacked and chased and killed, and their stress response was at its peak, equivalent to that of people who were compared, they compared them to soldiers that were under fire. And they had the same stress response as people who were really having real bullets shot at them. And we already know what happens to soldiers when they're in that stressful situation ongoing for long periods of time. When they get out of it, they develop diseases that are related to post-traumatic stress disorder. Well, you know what? If you're sitting in a movie theater watching a movie that makes you makes your body produce that same response as if you are actually engaged in a fight, in war, in saving your life, then what does that say about day in and day out when you're thinking things about yourself, call it negative thoughts, whatever you want to call it, but if you're thinking these things that promote and precipitate these negative hormones, these hormones that cause disease, we know that stress hormones destroy the heart. So couldn't you just be destroying your heart yourself slowly over time? Absolutely. And isn't that what we're talking about here? If we know that we can destroy ourselves slowly through stress, then why is the flip side not true? That we could actually build our body, repair our body through positive belief. I want to talk about a study when we come back that was done with cancer patients. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. I have never endorsed a training guide before The Blueprint by Rob Regish. The Blueprint combines the best techniques for building muscle and gaining strength with the best tips on supplementation and nutrition. Everyone who has used The Blueprint has surpassed their expectations in muscular gains in record time. You'll learn how to break through any plateau, how to make gains from every single workout, and all for the price of a single supplement purchase. Get your copy of The Blueprint today by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Blueprint banner ad. Order today and get copies of both The Blueprint 2.0 and 3.0, plus ongoing support on the Blueprint Forum to ensure your success.
When you take real performance-enhancing supplements, your body is placed under a lot of stress. Your organs need support. If you had to take a supplement for each of the potential side effects, estrogen conversion, blood pressure, liver protection, cholesterol control, water retention, androgen receptor upregulation, kidney function, and much more, you'd have to break the bank just to pay for it all. That's until Need to Build Muscle's N2 Guard. N2 Guard does all of this and more. It's the only real cycle support supplement that you'll ever need. Look, if your organs are important to you, buy N2 Guard today at needtobuildmuscle.com.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
I've never felt a pump from taking a supplement. That's until I tried creatine nitrate from APS Nutrition. I expected to feel nothing, just like the NO supplements I had taken before. But this stuff really does work. Even taking below the recommended dose, I could feel the sensation of tighter muscles under the swelling effect of the pump. And the pump lasts for a few hours. It worked for me and I was a skeptic. Check out creatine nitrate by visiting APSNutrition.com today. Try it and you'll be a believer too.
6-Oxo is back thanks to Iron Mag Lab, the gold standard for testosterone boosting and estrogen reduction that all other over-the-counter aromatase inhibitors are compared to, is 6-Oxo progesterone. 6-Oxo is the active ingredient in the new E-Control RX from Iron Mag Labs. Iron Mag Labs has resurrected the beast that has been clinically shown to raise free testosterone by as much as 226%. As men age, estrogen rises and testosterone drops.
drops. E-Control RX can help reverse this from happening. E-Control RX is suitable for post-cycle therapy to jumpstart natural testosterone production. Get E-Control RX today. Go to IronMagLabs.com today. You already know how great the Testo 100 Transdermal Testosterone Boosting Patch is. Well, now it's even better. The new and improved Testo 100 patch now contains D-aspartic acid, stinging nettle root, and androstenotrione to increase free testosterone while reducing sex hormone binding globulin and aromatase enzyme. It's still made in FDA-certified labs and contains all the great ingredients that made it work originally. But now it's even better, bypassing the stomach to deliver its ingredients throughout the day for greater increases in energy, libido, and muscle-building, fat-burning effects. Get 50% off when you use the coupon code SHR4. Go to AGEFORCE.com and use the coupon code SHR4 and get your new Testo 100 patch today.
If you're like me, you avoid the insulin spike from eating pasta, but not anymore. Miracle Noodle is the world's first no-calorie, no-carbohydrate noodle. You heard me right. Now you can enjoy pasta dishes and stay on your low-carb diet. They have fettuccine, linguine, rigatoni, and more. Even angel hair pasta is now a no-calorie, no-carb food. And Miracle Noodle tastes great. So go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Miracle Noodle banner ad to learn more about how you can start enjoying pasta again, even when you're dieting. Find your Miracle Noodle at superhumanradio.com today.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
What's happening?
What's happening?
Hey, hey, now ladies and gentlemen, it's about that time. Turn this thing on out. Hey, let's go.
Slap your fingers to yourself. You can do it all by yourself. Let me see you do it.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. You know, I've done shows on guided imagery and meditation. He's not a doctor. Marv Fremerman has been on the show a couple times. Some of Marv's experiences with guided imagery were with cancer patients. And this is actually, while Marv has experience in it, this is not something new. It's estimated that, and when we talk about belief, when we talk about curing yourself or healing yourself or getting over strong obstacles, one of the easiest things that someone can use that sometimes you have to be reminded about that doesn't cost you any money. It just requires you sit in a quiet room, close your eyes, and allow that tool that occupied your mind when you were so young, a child, your imagination, that so many of us just, as we get older, we just forget about our imagination. Letting your imagination work its magic. As we know from what I said in the last segment, that when the eyes are open watching something horrendous, the body reacts like it's really happening. The body doesn't know the difference. Well, if you guide your movie, if you make the movie about you, if you were sitting in the movie theater watching a movie about the outcome of your life and that you were in the movie, everything you've ever wanted actually happened. You watch this movie, you would feel fantastic senses of joy. If you watch this movie day in and day out, I believe that these things would manifest themselves over time. Well, we know that patients who are suffering from cancers, they get great results from guided imagery. Everything from actually seeing, they were shown movies of what fighter cells looked like, and then they were told to imagine that these cells were chomping down and devouring their cancers. And the results of the group that used guided visualization was significantly better than the group that just got the chemotherapy or whatever the treatment was, and that they didn't use guided imagery. So that made doctors start looking at this, and when they started to do research, they found out that the process of guided imagery really goes all the way back probably to Greek and Roman days and even early Babylonians, but it was documented by some Tibetan monks in the 13th century when they would cope with illness by imagining that Buddha was curing their disease, and they had such a strong belief in Buddha that they believed that he could do anything. So clearly, if he wanted to cure their disease, he could. So they would practiced guided imagery where they would see Buddha curing their disease, and the results were profound. And they were documented. They were written about. These events were written about. And this is such a large effect that even now, women who undergo breast cancer treatment are talked to by their oncologists and told that guided imagery can actually help the outcome. It's not hard to believe. It's easy to believe. It's understandable. By visualizing the body dealing with its disease can actually cause the systems and processes that we're trying to affect to ramp up. The same way that stimulating the body to think that it's under stress and being chased and someone's trying to kill it can stimulate the processes and systems that affect stress response to ramp up. So I would suggest to those of you listening to the show, regardless of what you're trying to cope with right now, to start practicing guided visualization. Find a quiet room. You don't have to do this for long periods of time. Do it for 10 minutes. Give yourself 10 minutes a day. Pick a problem and sit down and act like you're a movie director and guide a movie that you're the star of, and guide this movie to the outcome that you want with whatever it is, whether it's breaking a plateau, whether it's losing body fat, whether it's getting better sleep, whatever it is, try it. Let's see what happens. You know what? I would love to hear from those of you out there who actually take this seriously and apply it to let me know what the outcome is for you. Because I have a feeling that I'm going to get emails from people who really try this. Try it 10 minutes a day, do it for 2 to 3 weeks, and then let me know if the outcome in your life, in the situation that you're trying to cope with, whether it's illness or whether it's a physical obstacle, resolves itself. And then if it resolves itself, don't discount your guided visualization's ability to have an effect on that outcome. Don't go, well, it probably was going to happen anyway. So, you know, I mean, I did the guided visualization. Maybe it helped, maybe it didn't. Try it. Try it in different areas of your life and see what happens. Anyway, I want to thank Dr. Mark Siegel again for coming on the show. He's a very, very important guy, high-level guest. His book is The Inner Pulse. It's available at Amazon.com and where finer books are sold. I think it's a great book because not only does it promote an inspirational message for people who are coping with illness, but the message, in my humble opinion, is even broader. If you can have an effect on disease by your spiritual and mental outlook, like I said at the beginning of the show, the heart is metaphorically used to imply spiritual strength. Someone has a big heart. They'll say, oh, he's generous people. They always say you have a big heart, right? You have a lot of heart if you have courage. The heart. And his book is called The Inner Pulse, interestingly enough. Basically the proof of life of the heart. Well, if you have a big heart, if you have a strong heart, if you have a strong spiritual belief, I believe that it can have an effect on greater things than just the etiology and outcome of a disease. I believe that it can manifest itself in a lot of ways in your life. All right, you've been listening to Superhuman Radio. We've got a great show planned tomorrow. We'll see you then.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. We're ripped and we're ready.